and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. You'll be pleased to know that this isn't one of those solo episodes, though then again, maybe when you hear who I've got, you might wish it was, because I'm joined by Mr. Matt Spooner. Hello, Matt.
Hello. Best behaviour today, I promise.
Well, that's good. That's good, because I hate having to edit out things and put bleeps everywhere. So, Matt is joining us, joining me via the wonders of Skype to talk movies. Yes, we are the new Wittertainment podcast.
Well, both big fans of that anyway, I know.
Yes, but I'm definitely Simon.
Well, that makes me flappy hands, so I'm quite happy to live with that.
So, our American listeners have no idea what we're talking about.
The colonial cousins.
Yes. So we're going to talk movies, and we're going to talk movie genres and movies that have inspired you to game particular periods and movies to watch if you've been inspired by gaming and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. It's something that I raised a while ago on Twitter, and it's a regular question I trot out about kind of what I call hobby immersion. And, you know, you watch a film or something, it makes you want to game it, or you're gaming something and you want that additional sort of stimulus to maintain your momentum.
See, you need additional stimulus, is this what you're saying?
Well, no, but sometimes when you're looking at paint schemes, and to immediately draw back to the kind of Misaki crew I did, looking at things like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon and Hero and House of Flying Daggers... You know, the Misaki and the Oriental aesthetic was already there, but I wanted something a bit more to kind of inspire me further. And that's where I know we had that discussion, but that was kind of led of, you know, the fact we both loved those films and stylistically,
yeah,
how you could port that to the table.
Yeah, and I suppose you can see it. There's definitely an impact of popular movies on gaming culture as well. You know, when things like Saving Private Ryan hit, we were saying off-air Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
There was all of a sudden a massive resurgence in World War II gaming and people that you never thought as, I don't know, historical gamers suddenly were going, oh, what's this Flames of War system? And, oh, yes, let's get some tanks on the table.
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tanks. I mean, yeah, I mean, with that, there's kind of been that traditional... historical gamers that were playing, you know, old WRG rules and rapid fire, but all of a sudden, because it was part of popular culture, I think it's then when you saw, I mean, there was the Kampf Group Normandy games came out of Forge World of all places. That was Warwick Kinraid's first set of World War II rules. Yeah. But also the stuff that Warlord Games have done, who are a traditional historical company, but have grown out of kind of the Nottingham-based historical folks. I think they're very good at kind of capitalizing on that, what is the hotness in, not necessarily the full popular culture, but certainly within, and I use the inverted commas, the geek culture, because, you know, most of us war gamers are also geeks around some areas of popular culture.
Yeah, I mean, it's... one of the things that has surprised me is that there hasn't been an uptake in sort of superhero movie games.
Yeah, I mean, with all of that's been going on with Marvel and the Avengers and Iron Man and all of those films, and, you know, to a degree, I guess we've seen it a little bit on the DC side because we've got the Batman game out now.
Yep.
But obviously, there's sort of the Dark Knight trilogy and the new Superman film, which are all very serious and morose compared to the Marvel side, but nevertheless, you know, very popular in the sort of comic book culture world. Yeah, I think, you know, we haven't really seen a sudden uptake in that superhero game, but you never know. Perhaps that's around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there are some superhero games out there if you know where to look for them. And obviously, superhero games can have... it can be a difficult period... sort of period's the wrong word, but genre to game because... typically, it's one or two exceptionally powerful individuals on the good guy side versus endless horde of thugs who just exist to get beaten up.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's like colonial gaming, really. That's like playing a Zulu game where you've got the hordes and the masses. But, I mean, it can work because, you know, in effect, what we're doing with zombie gaming at the moment, and, you know, with zombie side, zombie games are always going to be... popular because zombie films are always popular, and we've seen World War Z and the Dawn of the Dead remake, and the 28 Days films that have come along. You know, and gamers generally like those games, and you know, Zombicide was probably the big hit of, I guess it would be 2012 when it first came out.
Yes.
You know, and that had, and of course, Walking Dead, of course, is the AMC series as well. That's got a lot of people behind it.
And I think actually you're right there. I think if you look at the Kickstarters for Zombicide, for example, when they were putting up stretch goals, what people wanted were the heroes from particular movies as playable characters in that game.
Yeah.
So they wanted a Wichita, and they wanted a Little Rock.
Yeah.
And they wanted, you know, whoever Ving Rhames' character is in.
Yeah. And they wanted Rick and the like from Walking Dead as well.
Yeah. So you do get that impact.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly influences, and you know, it can lead you potentially back into old game systems. I know when the Death Race remake came out with Jason Statham. It made me hanker for Dark Future again, and I hadn't even thought of Dark Future for years, the old GW car combat game.
Yep, I watched Elysium the other day, and the scenes where he's fighting the robots, it just made me think, okay, so that's Mad Max Gaming and Infinity all at the same time.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice, cool robot thing.
And I think, you know, sometimes you'll get games that will fit into a genre. And, of course, you've also got the direct license games as well. I mean, I'm thinking of X-Wing particularly at the moment is very popular, the combat game out of Fantasy Flight. But there's also
That was a big license win for them, I think.
Yeah, there's a Star Trek space combat game around at the moment. Judge Dredd game from Mongoose, which is, I guess, more comic book than film orientated, and of course Games Workshop's Lord of the Rings, and now the Hobbit kind of licenses that inspired lots and lots of games and rule sets as well, because people wanted to be Boromir or wanted to be Luke Skywalker or, you know, Captain Kirk. So and to a degree, perhaps that's outside of HeroClix that I know we've spoken about previously, perhaps with superhero games, because it's difficult. Everybody will want to be Batman, or everyone will want to be Iron Man. It's perhaps that's the challenge that they have to overcome with superhero games.
Yeah, maybe it is. I mean, and it's also, I mean, I think the cost of the licensing for those sorts of games is pretty prohibitive as well. I know there was a Spanish company, is it Night Models?
Yeah.
The same people who are behind Batman now. They did do a range of Marvel figures for a while.
Yeah.
But they did Star Wars ones as well. So they obviously had a decent amount of cash behind them to do licensing.
Mm.
I do think with the new... Star Wars is the one that I always think, why has it always failed as a miniature game?
Yeah.
Given the generations of people that were brought up on it, and yet there isn't a game. And it may be that what they've tried to do in the past is as a mass battle game, where it's possibly more suited to a, you know, 6-7 aside skirmish game.
Yeah. Well, I certainly think that the X-Wing has got it just right in the fact it's generic enough that you can have the named characters in there if you want, so you can be Red 5 or you can be Han Solo, but also it doesn't matter because the canon is so embedded, particularly for the original three, amongst people of our generation, that we don't care who we get to be. We're in an X-Wing or we're in a TIE fighter, and that's why it's cool.
Yeah, my worry with X-Wing is that because there's only two factions, that you run out of things to do, because you can't bring in capital ships because they're far too big. You know, the biggest thing that they've just brought out, or they're just about to bring out, the shuttle,
the Imperial, the Rebellion transport, and the other one, the one from the beginning of episode 4, the Carillion,
the blockade runner.
Yeah,
And they're like 80 quid a pop.
Mm.
I mean, that's pricey. And yet, and they're but you compare that with a Star Destroyer.
Mm.
I mean, a Star Destroyer is basically, it's the surface that you're flying over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I suppose you could make rules for that, and you know, you have emplaced defenses and things.
Mm.
But I do worry that there's a finite amount of ships that you can put into it.
Yeah, but there's an infinite amount of love for it. I think that's what will see it through.
Yeah,
but not. But sort of thinking about other periods. I mean, I know sort of we've both got some historical game in our background. But you think to some of the ancients and Middle Ages periods, we had when 300 came out. All of a sudden, there are a lot of Spartan ranges of miniatures that followed it.
Yeah.
Gladiator. The scene at the beginning of Gladiator, where with the fight with the Germanic tribes and the Roman legions, certainly made me want to do ancients gaming again.
Foundry did very well out of that scene.
Yeah, absolutely. Braveheart, to a degree, but we've got the potential saga supplement for the Crusades coming up, so I should imagine there's a few of us will drag things like Kingdom of Heaven out just for a bit of a rewatch, and I know you're a big El Cid fan.
El Cid, that's what I'll be watching.
Yeah. The Patriot, which was a terrible film about the American War of Independence, but actually has some quite nice battle scenes in it.
Is that the Mel Gibson one?
Yeah, not a great film, but actually has some quite nice battle scenes towards the end. And that kind of 1700s period of linear battle is not something you get to see a lot. I'm a big war game, warfare of the Spanish Succession, so sort of the Duke of Marlborough period is one of my particular sort of favourite periods. Never been done on film particularly, but right. It's a period that if ever a film came out about it, I'd be all over it like a rash. But I know we're sort of then straying into areas that you don't necessarily like to game, where there are guns and stuff.
Yes, not the gun. Once it gets to guns, then I'm loath to play that.
But we saw a lot of when Black Hawk Down came out, the movie Black Hawk Down. There was quite a pickup of a lot of modern gaming came out, and certainly in the sort of 15mm ranges, saw a massive. Spike in new companies starting up that were doing sort of 15mm modern stuff, and there's Kurasan and Peter Pig expanded their range for AK-47 to include sort of modern US troops as well. So, you know, and I'm such a hobby whore that, you know, I've got a lot of that stuff as well. And, you know, there are some other films that came out around at the same time. There's a good one called Ninth Company, which is a Russian film, a bit like a version of Platoon but set in Afghanistan. And that's a, you know, that's a really good film. And of course, Vietnam itself, you know, we had the 80s with sort of Platoon, Hamburger Hill and Full Metal Jacket. And Flames of War kind of jumped onto the Vietnam train with that. And again, I should wager, you know, we saw a lot of people were dragging their old Vietnam films out for inspiration and the like, with that sort of gaming as well. So, you know, I think when you start thinking about it, when you're one of the geeks like we are, it is, there is a prevalence of it that perhaps we don't give credit for, but certainly in my experience, once I get into something, then I will try and immerse myself fully in the hobby and watch lots of films around that sort of that genre or influenced by that genre.
Yeah, I suppose, I mean, I'm just thinking about it. I think there are two genres that don't get a massive amount of love from things. One is spy and espionage movies.
Yeah.
There is an excellent system called 7TV.
Yeah.
That sort of riffs on 60s and 70s British television shows.
Yeah.
But also some American ones like Man from U.N.C.L.E. and things like that. And that's a really good system that has a lot of crossover to other things. And then there's Oh, sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I'm a Copplestone and... Was it Artisan? Do some really nice, they're kind of kiss, bang, bang range. Some really nice figures kind of for that genre.
I possibly have all of them.
Boiler suited henchmen with Schmeissers and the like.
You can't go wrong, especially when you paint them orange.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other one, of which I've never seen a good game, there have been figure ranges and things. Aliens and Alien.
Yeah.
A good survival horror game. I mean, I suppose the closest... Space Hulk is obviously a massive riff on Alien/Aliens.
Yeah.
But there's never really been a good licensed game, though I did notice that there was a Kickstarter recently for a game. I didn't get involved in it because the way that the rewards were structured was there. And the other one, I mean, certainly from a British point of view, Doctor Who.
Yeah, I mean, I know, again, going back to kind of 7TV, I know they've got some elements of Doctor Who in there, and that's sort of almost 70s or 60s sci-fi. I think that was 7TV had that in their range.
Yes, yeah, they do. Crooked Dice makes some not Blake 7 Federation troopers.
Oh, nice.
That are very, very nice.
But, yeah, and I think, you know, the 70s cop shows, there was Killer Bee, I think they were, did a range of kind of 70s, because Sweeney and all of those, the professionals and things like that.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They did. I'd forgotten about that. There are several Reagan figures knocking around, or Regan.
Yeah.
Is it Regan or Reagan? It's Regan.
Regan.
I think, isn't
yeah,
it?
Regan.
Oh, so I noticed our timer has gone.
Okay.
So that's it for this episode. I've been Mike.
And I've been Matt.
And we'll speak to you soon. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.